Aloha and welcome to another episode of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast, the podcast where two dudes from halfway across the world talk everything green and gold. I'm Mike, and that's Iowa Joe. Today, we're recapping a disappointing, but honestly, at the same time, promising, at least on offense, game for the Green Bay Packers overall. Joe, that wasn't the same kind of nut punch as some of the other losses on this season have been for me. How about for you?
It was, but it wasn't. I'm kind of like 50-50 on it because, yeah, we saw promising, but we also still saw some of the mistakes that we need to be getting away from. Maybe a little bit better decision-making. I'm talking specifically the offense. We'll go into the whole defense thing here, you know, whatever. But offensive wise, you know, Jordan really looked like he stepped up and was doing some good things, but still struggled with others. I didn't listen to the LaFleur presser too much. I listened to some of it, but I guess he kind of called out Aaron Jones on his mistake. It's like, settle down there, Matt. I understand he made one goof, but this guy's been the essential part of your offense. You know, I wouldn't throw him under the bus or anything like that. But other than that, you know, Watson, I know that's been a big thing on Twitter right now, but I mean, we got to kind of calm down on him. You know, as we've said for the longest time, it's the whole 3-year rule. You know, 1 year you're getting in, you're trying to get used to things. Year two, you're going to kind of slump because you're up to speed, but now you got to get into, you know, a routine, and then year three should be your jump into being a star type player. So, but defense, I know we're going to talk a little bit about it, but I kind of want to get my soapbox up and put this out there. If you're comparing this goes for any personnel or any coach or anything like that, anybody comparing Joe Barry to Adolf Hitler, you need to stay the fuck off of social media. That shit's getting ridiculous. It's not even close to being right. You're just being stupid. I called somebody out on it today. I've seen it a couple different times now over the last few weeks. It's not funny. It really isn't. And if all you're doing is trying to get people to get pissed off and uproar and go viral over this shit, it's not worth it because you're comparing two apples and oranges. One's running a bad defense. The other was a genocidal maniac. So you need to fucking knock it off. Just grow up already. It's not something to be comparing to. So I'm going to move the soapbox now, and we can get back into it. But I'm getting sick and tired of seeing that stuff.
Just really in terms of anything, like, you know, like comparing him to a terrorist or anything like that in any regard, it's, you just say he sucks at his job. And like, that's the, you know, that's the thing in itself. The joke out of it all is that he has an NFL defensive coordinator job. But yeah, I don't need to rehash what you and others have said. It's just stupid at this point, and it's just dirty. So, but we don't condone it. We don't support that at all. But getting back to the Packers themselves, let's talk about the stuff that has us at least a little bit pickle-tickled today. But I thought it was a good, you know, I thought I would probably give Jordan a B+, maybe fringe A- if I had to grade his game today. I thought overall his process was pretty good. LaFleur kind of did talk about his first interception more than his second one. The second one, Andy Herman actually posted the All-22, and I would love to live in that universe where I get my hands on the slightly unscrupulously acquired versions of All-22 the day the game happens. But Herman posted already, and there's like nowhere he can go. You got one play, and Pittsburgh did the smart thing. They picket lined the goal line, and the only other play was really to like just throw a jump ball at the back, the goalpost stand for Musgrave. And I guess you could say that might have been the play, but otherwise, it was a lot like the situation that the Cowboys were in at the end of their Eagles game last week, where you're either throwing it into a defender or you're throwing it short and like just hoping on hope that someone can run it into the end zone. So
right, that's the only thing that I saw too. There was no real place to go. The only hope is like you said, is maybe throw it short and hope the blockers can get over there to stop that rush that's going to come in to, you know, swarm on him. But there was nowhere to go with it.
Yeah.
I think he probably would have had a better shot just to bootleg out and try to get it himself. Yeah. So, no. The first one, I will agree, that was probably mainly on him.
Now, yeah. And LaFleur did kind of say, like, I wish he had maybe looked somewhere else kind of thing. I get it. But the part that I do grade love hard on that one is it's only second down. Like, you have another down after that. And so I get the part I'm okay with it is you're throwing into the end zone. But at the same time, it's not a great read and you're a little late on the throw. So that's a play where I think he could have run out his right B gap. And honestly, that's one where I'm like, just take the like 3 to 4 yards that are there. And maybe you get lucky and you juke or break a tackle and you get the first down or something like that. But that was one where it's like, live for another down. And I mean, and who knows, maybe you kick the field goal even because you do have all 3 of your timeouts and stuff. But you couldn't not get points on that drive is basically where I grade love on that one. And at the same time, it's like, Watson, do something. Like, I was just gonna say,
Trey, you've been doing a great job of like backing your brother. I understand you got to have your brother's back on that, and you have the experience playing football and whatever. I'm talking Trey Watson, but I mean, I'm not gonna say your brother's been complete ass because he hasn't. You know, he's struggled with things, but he's also done some good.
Yeah,
but he's also, and I kind of agree with Wendell Ferrara, where he's play, you know, he's 6'4", but he's playing like he's 5'10". You know, he needs to fight a little bit more on some of those balls. He needs to, and how many times have we seen so far this year, Love will hit him right on the hands and he'll just drop it. I think he had one or two of them just today where it hit him right smack on the hands and he just kind of dropped.
Third down on the second drive hit him right in the, he was thinking about what he was going to do to try and get the first down and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, we see people joke on Twitter about how DeAndre Hopkins has done the buckle up celebration like 3 or 4 times this season because he's broken up interceptions, right. Interceptable passes and stuff. It's like, yeah, like, it, yeah, just like make a play at the ball kind of thing. And, you know, because that one, it's he let Peterson just go and tip the ball back in bounds kind of thing. And it's like that just can't happen. You're a professional, like something you got to make. So whether you end up with the catcher, it ends up on the ground. It cannot end up in a tip drill interception and stuff. And like I said, I say they're pretty equal kind of thing because yeah, it's just a bummer that they came up with no points. And that's you know, it looked like they were going to have a successful day in the red zone. You go down there and you get a touchdown on the first drive. And then they kind of come up empty on the last few opportunities. You know, they go, I think they were like 1 for 5 in the red zone today, including the desperation throw at the end of the game. But, I mean, it was good to see them move the ball the whole game, not just for a half, not just for a quarter. And that's where the bulk of my grade for Love goes is, you know, we said it in the preview, this Pittsburgh secondary isn't anything to write home about, especially with no Mick Fitzpatrick, but that front 7 is legit. And it was good to see him stand tall in the pocket, deliver throws that were on platform and on time. But also, you know, he had a couple where he had to step up around pressure, make throws across his body and things like that. And I thought, you know, there's a couple throws that he probably would have liked to have back. But then the two that other than the interceptions that I think of are, ironically, they're the throw right before his 2 touchdown passes. So, I mean, he did kind of get them back. But, you know, the first one, he probably did have Watson on the crosser in the red zone. And he feels pressure in his coming up in his face a little bit. And he tries to just sort of throw it around the defender. And he sails a little over Watson's face down in the deep red zone. And then the second one, he's probably like 3 to 6 inches high on that throw on the deep out to Wicks. The thing I said on Twitter is, I don't know if Wicks is running a comeback or an out, and depending on which one he is, it's either Wicks is right and Jordan is totally wrong, or Jordan's a little wrong and Wicks ran the route wrong. So, but then, you know, the very next play, he comes back and throws an absolute seed on, you know, he drops the ball in the bucket to Dobbs for the first touchdown. And then his second touchdown throw, he throws a deep pass in stride to Reed on a deep over route. And so I thought overall it was a really good game from Love. Had some bad drops from Aaron Jones. And of course, Aaron Jones catches the one he should drop at the end of the game. So, you know, he ends up at, what is it, 21 for 40. But overall, I thought that, you know, that completion percentage doesn't tell the story. I thought he had a really good game today. And
like you just said, though, it's really hard to knock him when the reason why you went, you know, less than 50 or, you know, little over 50% is because your guys are dropping it. I mean, if they could take the drops out of it, his completion percentage is probably a little bit higher, but they combine all that stuff and it looks worse than what it actually is. So, you know, I'm happy for the most part with what I saw from him outside of a couple of issues. I also have to say the offensive line, I know I'm going to get probably tweeted or whatever or yelled at for this, but I thought the offensive line held up pretty good. You know, they may not have been the best. The run game wasn't great. And I know Andy was pointing out certain things about, you know, like John Runyon Jr. and stuff like that. But I thought they kept Jordan pretty clean for the most part. I think there was only really, what, the one sack? Now, obviously, he had to get rid of a couple of them because he got pressured. But other than that, I mean, he looked like, honestly, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm comparing the two, but he looked like Rodgers back there with how much time he was having to throw the ball on a lot of those plays.
Yeah, a couple of, like, the throw to Reed, he definitely, you know, I think a couple weeks ago, the touchdown throw to Reed, he might bail the pocket and, you know, try and run for it or something like that. But it's good to see him stand in there and deliver a very good pass. And today was his best deep ball game for the whole season. I know he had a couple he'd probably like to have back. The one to Dobbs, he probably wants to get that one outside a little bit. But I think Dobbs partially lost that one in the sun too. But, I mean, he threw a couple really good deep shots to Musgrave. He and Luke finally connected on a couple of those. That was really great to see. Obviously he had the big touchdown to Reed. He had the big pass late to Reed, which honestly was probably a little bit lucky. I think what he was trying to do on that play is step up in the pocket and then push the ball on a deep corner to kind of hit Reed as he's splitting the two safeties. But because Love gets contact as he's releasing the ball, it comes out a little bit like a duck, and Reed sees the ball the whole way and the safeties don't, and he flattens his route out to catch the ball and gets to the sideline and gets out of bounds to save time. So Love was just kind of letting it fly today, and like we've been saying it for the last month, I think there's been too much made of not too much made, but there was too many cooks in the kitchen this offseason with, oh, make this tweak, make this technical tweak, make this one. It's like, at some point, just throw the damn ball and get it out there. And I thought his deep passes looked more crisp today too, because I know sometimes his have a little bit of a wobble to him over the early part of the season, and it was nice to just see him throwing a nice tight spiral down the field again. So good game from Love. And like you said, the O-line, there were some struggles in the run game, especially it looked like when Jones was trying to run the ball. But I thought in pass pro overall, they did pretty well. I mean, against that front, like you said, the only sack was one where, and I know it goes on Zach Tom's ledger, and it's TJ Watt who gets the sack, which, of course, that's going to sit well with Packer fans. But
yeah,
that was more of a combination set. It was decent coverage combined with the Cam Hayward got interior push. So because Tom actually pushed Watt past the pocket, but Love couldn't step up to escape and, you know, get, you know, go run up the field and stuff. So it was so close to being a clean game by the O-line, But overall in pass pro, they looked pretty good, and they did some good stuff on the move today. I know Runyon had the bad miss on he had the bad miss on that screen pass to Jones down in the red zone, but like you said, overall it was a better game from the O-line than I think a lot of them will get credit for. Everyone's gonna look at the negatives, and then this was a, you know, I don't think it's gonna come from the Packers, but this is a game that AJ Dillon can, his agent can point to and say like, yeah, this is the actualized AJ Dillon that you can hope to get. You know, he had a 40-yard run and he had some good receptions and stuff. So,
yeah, I know, but it, you still can't say, well, look how shiny and bright he's doing today, and then look at the rest of the year, and you know,
oh yeah,
you know,
I'm just saying,
as the saying goes, you know, polish a turd, it's still a turd.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just saying from an agent's point of view, and like I said, I wouldn't, I don't think it'll be in Green Bay, but it's, I think this is one that it's just good for AJ to have a game like today, and it's. It's a bummer that like two of his best games on the season have come in dumb losses. So, but I'm happy for him to have some good tape on the reel.
And there's another reason why you don't feed Dillon, because every time he has a good game, the Packers just crap the bed.
But overall, I thought LaFleur called a good game. I thought he was aggressive. Like I said, the whole idea in this game is that Pittsburgh's secondary wasn't great, and if you can block up their front, you're going to be able to have opportunities to make plays. And Love was good to connect on those. And, you know, some people were like, why are we throwing a double pass to get the ball to Aaron Jones on the one that he dropped at the open of the, it was going to work. Like it was going to work. Yeah. So, and Dontavian Wicks couldn't have handed the ball to Jones in a better spot. It hit him right between the two threes on his jersey. And I couldn't believe that he dropped it. So
yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but it was, I don't know if Jones was thrown off because it was coming at him left-handed.
Maybe, I don't know.
I know that and I know it's weird to say, but I've heard people talk about that before, where when the ball comes from a left-handed quarterback, it's a little bit different than when you're used to somebody throwing right-handed all your life.
Yeah, the thing that, and I don't know how much it would affect him in on that one, is the ball will tail, the ball naturally, because of physics, the ball will tail to the side of the thrower. But in that case, because Wicks is left-handed, it should be taking Jones upfield. But that's the only thing I can really think of. He threw a pretty tight spiral to him. So, yeah, it's just a bummer, because I thought
it was a pretty good game. Yeah. It was it was a well orchestrated play. Had Jones caught it, we're
gets
talking
the first.
Yeah, he might, at least gets the first, and he probably could be gone because he had the block set up.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, I don't, so, you know, everyone's jumping on LaFleur this season, but, and you know, you and I kind of touched on it on an earlier pod, but I don't feel like he's called enough trick plays this season, because I know that. Part of it is, you know, it's a super secret thing. You can't overdo them or they lose effectiveness. But everyone he's called, including that one and the, you know, the one on against the Saints when Love slipped and, you know, the throw back to him was short and he slipped on the turf, they've all worked, or they would have worked. So it's, yeah.
Well, I could go for two some a game. Of them, and some of them have worked. Look at the one last week with Musgrave, where it was the double play action. I mean, that worked perfectly, other than, you know, Musgrave wanting to go down by getting touched by a finger. But, you know, I have to give him props. He's been getting better. I'm really hoping that they'll start getting Tucker Kraft involved a little bit, because like I've said for the last few weeks, when we've kind of touched on him, he's going to be your bowling ball guy. He's going to be the one that's going to take it short, but extend it out, because he's going to run over people. I don't know if he's just not showing in practice. I don't know if they're just trying to make him a blocker. I don't know what's going on, but they really need to kind of integrate him more, especially after the game Josiah DeGuara had today.
I know. I think a part of it is, because they haven't run the ball as well, they're not in their bigger pack, you know, their bigger personnel packages like we were, you know, we were. I thought that they would come into the season and live in, you know, 12 and 22, you know, with DeGuara as the fullback and stuff. But like you said, I don't know if you need to start getting Kraft fullback snaps or whatever, but.
Or they got that Ben Sims who has been a pretty solid blocker.
Yeah.
You know, so, throw him in there.
Yeah. And so I do think we're moving towards that. I think a good sign that we're moving towards that is the fact that Musgrave's targets were all down the field today. We didn't see any, you know, his shortest one was that that third down play in the red zone. And I know some people are like, oh, like he forced it in there. I don't think Elandon Roberts was supposed to be there. I'm pretty sure if you ask the Steelers about that play 12 times out of 10, Roberts is supposed to be dropping under Dobbs's route. And I don't have the illegal all 22, so I can't say this for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
We're law abiding, damn it.
I'm poor and I don't have connections, but I'm pretty sure Roberts is supposed to drop to the hook. So, and that's why Dobbs looks so open is because Roberts isn't where he's expected or supposed to be. And instead he's there to bangle the ball out of Musgrave at, you know, at the sticks. So, but overall, just good to see that Musgrave is being used the quote unquote right way as a downfield threat where it's not as big of a deal that he trips over his own feet as long as he's catching the ball. But yeah, I think, and I agree with you, it's time to see more of Kraft. We did see, you know, he caught a slant today, and I think that they are, you know, slowly going to move him to a more, I don't want to say prominent role, but especially as Jones is healthier and Dylan is running better, I think you're going to see both of them get utilized more in the passing game because they'll be on the field for run plays more. So that's definitely one to stick a pin in. But it was good to see Kraft get something of a bone thrown his way today. But from the side of the ball that we are tickled by to the side of the ball that we got exactly what we expected. Honestly, probably worse.
Well, it's definitely – Jair's got to get out there somehow, or they've got to bring somebody in that can – I mean, Carrington was all right. And I have to say the secondary looked okay for the most part. The run defense was atrocious. Like we've said for the longest time, and I was worried about that when we did our preview of the game, that if they just do nothing but feed Najee and Warren. They're just going to friggin' feast. And I was trying to look it up real quick just to see what the totals were. Warren had 101. Najee had 82 rushing yards.
So Najee was went over with 5.1 yards per carry.
Yeah. So, I mean, even Kenny Pickett went 4 for 16.
Yeah.
So that was killer. And like I said, outside of a few things, the secondary held up a little bit. I mean, they only allowed 126 passing yards without any touchdowns. So, I mean, they held up, but there was no run support from them either. Once they got outside of the front seven, you know, they were feasting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, you know, a safety thing. I don't know if that's a cornerback thing. You know, Carrington, other than being a pretty solid pass defender, isn't much for physicality in a way. So, you know, he's got a little bit of Jair to him where they, you know, you can put him in a corner or, you know, on a side of the field and say, here, this is yours. But then when it comes to tackling, it's a little of a mixed bag. And I know he's a good story and I know he was all right, but I just don't think Corey Ballantyne is the answer for that other. So I wonder if that Rochelle just hasn't picked up enough of the playbook to get in there to do anything. But and then the safety play. I don't know. Did Anthony Johnson Jr. get any play time today?
I don't think so. I'll never be able to understand why that decision was made. You know, Ford might be back another season, but Owens probably isn't. And even if he is, you don't want him starting. So using snaps on him is just a waste of time. Like I said, Right now on the active roster, there's only two guys you want getting safety snaps. That's Ford and Johnson for different reasons. Ford out of necessity, and Johnson because you need to figure out, you know, how many safeties you got to pick next year. So I thought it was a pointless waste. And you know, and like I have it in the notes here, the quarterback situation is nothing but an excuse for Barry in the post game comments as to why he played so light in the box, so soft in coverage, because we had young guys, and you know, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens are explosive, you know, passing game threats, and we did see a little bit of that. But yeah,
in the three games that he's played in, he's seen a total of 66 snaps, which is only 35% of the time.
Yep.
And like you said, you know, and you've been on it all year that a lot of the guys that they have in the safety room right now are just special teams guys. They're and backups, you know, guys that you might rotate in when your starters need a breath or two, but you got to get them out there, get them playing, let them do something. Because Jonathan Owens, yeah, feel good story, Simone Biles' husband, blah, 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 whatever, is just not there. And Rudy Ford is, you know, just a guy. And Dallin Leavitt, I don't ever want to see him playing safety snaps. And do we even know if Zane Anderson is a real person or not? So they got to do something. Get Anthony Johnson Jr. out there. Call up Benny Sapp. Do whatever you got to do. Just did they even use practice squad call-ups again this week?
No, they didn't. The only thing they did was they signed Gaines to the active roster. So no elevation this week, which was like I know what you're getting at. It's kind of funky when you're short corners and stuff. So, and then I think Rochelle is fine, but he did come up lame a little bit on one of the punt coverage units. So,
But they really only used him as special teams. I didn't see him really out there as a, so, I mean, they mainly relied on, Carrington, Nixon and Ballantyne.
Yep.
So I just I don't
try to understand what Barry is doing anymore. I just know that it's probably not the right thing at this point in time. So I just don't even bother to ask the question of why. I just know that it'll just make me frustrated or upset. So I mean,
and the run defense. I mean, you have it right here in your notes that, you know, you refuse to play bigger personnel versus a Pitt team that wanted to run the ball. That's the thing right there. You have a big-ass guy on the practice squad in Jonathan Ford. You know the only thing that they're going to be able to do is run on you. Throw their asses out there. Make it three down linemen. Fuck, throw four down linemen out there. Run a 4-3 on them. Confuse the hell out of them. Don't just, we're going to let them have their yards. Look what happened. You lost the damn game to a team that's worse than you. Well, not like they're worse than the Packers, but not by they have more wins than the Packers do.
Yep. It's just kind of shake your head. Yeah. The only other note I have that we haven't kind of gone over is Devondre. He had a chance to really flip the script in this game, and I don't think he understands how he didn't get a hand on that throw to the flat, because he was right there, and I think the ball just went right between his hands on that one. So,
well, and you don't have in our notes either, but we really need to talk about it, how the refs really messed up today, because that was another play that really flipped the script on the Packers. Even if they said he could, Rashawn couldn't advance the ball, they still had possession of it. They were still at like the 5 or 10 yard line.
Yeah.
You're still at least coming away with 3 points.
It was bad. And like, I don't understand. Like, I saw Steratore try to break it down and stuff, but I was like, you don't need to. And you don't even need to rely on the camera angle or anything. Just look where you can see where, because Pickett kind of sidearms it. You can see where the ball is in his hand as he's throwing it. And you can see where it hits the ground. And it's the same yard line. And I'm like, That's the whole point. It's not even that it's not going backwards. A lateral is sideways. If it's not going an inch forward, it's a lateral and it's a fumble. So, and the part that irritates the shit out of me is that you see these plays where the D lineman bats a ball back at the quarterback. It is blatant that the ball got thrown forward and it gets batted back at the quarterback. And then the ref doesn't blow a whistle. So someone has to go, like two guys are like, do I pick it up? And then they wait for someone to like run someone else over. And then they're like, oh no, it was incomplete. Like, and it's like, and then you blow that one dead immediately. It's like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm getting kind of tired of the referee play calls in the game anymore. We had it last week with the offensive offsides, and it seems like every week there's some kind of play where, well, we're putting an emphasis on this, or they have to like talk out their ass to explain why it didn't get called the way it should have been called.
Yep. It's, it's frustrating, but
sometimes it makes you miss the fail Mary refs, replacement refs. Cause at least they would have most likely called it a friggin' backwards pass.
Yeah. Yeah. The weird thing is that whatever it was, like, I forget how long ago it was, but there was that point in time where it was literally in the competition committee's rules that it was like, if there's a turnover looking play, let it play out kind of thing. And like, we'll fix it on replay. And we've seen Green Bay get screwed over on that kind of call. Cause like it was the Detroit Monday night game from 2019 where the refs were like, oh, he might've been short of the end zone, but oh, you know what? Let's just call it a touchdown and we'll get it on replay. We don't think it was a touchdown, but let's just give it to him and we'll overturn it on replay. And then you're like, oh shit, there's no good replay angle. And so, and it was kind of like that where it's like, this is the opposite of that, but it's like, I have a hard time believing that they would have overturned this one if they had let it play out as a fumble and let Rashawn score. And yeah, I also don't think that, and that's the thing too, is like, everyone's like, okay, like you didn't overturn it. Why the hell did you call it? It's a call stands. If you say that it's like, yeah, forward and backwards passes, that one to me, I was like, it either has to be confirmed or it's overturned. I don't understand how it stands because it's like, you have all these different camera angles that you, oh, like we're the NFL and we have a $1 billion industry and, you know, we don't want to do certain things with the ball and certain things with camera angles because we have all these other ones. And it's like, you geniuses can't put together, you have yard markers. And like I said, Pickett literally threw the ball on 1 yard marker, like hash, and the ball hit the ground next to another one. And they're the same one. And that's the definition of a lateral. And that's a fumble. So yeah, it's a load of crock. And yeah, when he's like, oh, it stands is called. I was like, so you cowards didn't want to do anything. And why are you here? Like, seriously.
Right. And, you know, they try to tell us to listen to the words that are coming out of the ref's mouth when it comes to, because if it's confirmed, then it means they saw it plain as day on the replay that that's how it happened. If it's overturned, that means they saw it plain as day on the replay that that's how it happened. But if it's called it like you said, stands as called, that means they didn't see anything to overturn it or confirm it. And then for them to say, you know, call as stands as called means they didn't have definite proof. Well, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of like the XFL rules in a way, because the office is watching every play. If there's a question, the New York can say, all right, we're taking a look at this.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something the NFL needs to start. Well, not if Gene Steratore is in charge of it, because he's been pulling shit out of his ass just to make excuses on why his refs got it right. But, you know, if the refs can't do it on the field, somebody's got to do it.
Well, and then that's another one is that I think is really stupid is that when it's the, and I don't know if they, but I remember there was a point where New York would help if it was the two, you know, the two minute window ones where it was the automatic booth review. But then if it was the standard coaches challenge, it was all on the ref. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if that's changed or what, but I was like, why do you do it differently? Like what? But yeah, the same thing like Joe Barry's defense. There's only so many things I can yell into the ether about refs and why they make the decisions they do. All I can say is my dad, who's a Steelers fan, he texted me and he's like, I thought that bonehead threw a fumble. Like he just outright said, we got away with one. I thought that idiot threw it backwards. So, yeah.
So, he did. They just at least call I have it that way.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we've been saying it. Not much to say about the defense because, and I tweeted it, points allowed is no longer a good representation of defensive play because you just played three of the worst offenses in the NFL. Well, three out of your last four games were against the worst offenses of the NFL. The fourth one, the opponent only didn't score more because their quarterback broke something in the middle of the game. And in the time he was playing, he could do anything while he was sitting on the cannon wiping his ass and he could have gotten it out of our defense. So, yeah. And it only gets worse from here because next week they're going to play a pissed off Chargers team who just couldn't beat the Lions. Yeah, good
then
luck.
Then you got the Lions. And then you got Minnesota who seems to found, you know, gold
or
out
Chiefs
of the trash.
First and then Minnesota. Yeah,
right.
And so,
and, you know, Josh Dobbs looked pretty good, even though he doesn't know who the hell he's throwing to.
Or God forbid Barry has to account for a passing game and a running quarterback. Yeah, it's going to be all kinds of ugly over the next month. And the only thing I can say is that the offense looked, like I said, this was the seventh ranked by DVOA defense in the league. So it was good to see Love show some improvement, show some progress and things that are, you know, I think a lot of the stuff he did this week, it was repeatable. It wasn't unsustainable play. It's things that he can do on a week-to-week basis. So that was good to see from the offense again. Going from one disappointing unit to a unit that had a disappointing day, the special teams, and I have it in the notes. I don't know how much I'm joking and how much I'm serious. Is Rich Bisaccia a used car salesman? Like, the blocked field goal. One, why is Josiah DeGuar your wing blocker?
What was he doing?
Nothing. He did the exact same thing there as Tyler Lancaster in the last playoff game this team had. He did nothing.
I think it was Andy Herman that posted the clip. He was just standing there.
You
did
know
he not hear the snap? Did he not hear the...
Not see the guy running at him? But like, and the thing with that is, you know it was a terrible effort because the guy didn't block it with his fingertip or his hand or his arm. He blocked it with his gut. Like, it wasn't even one that like, oh, maybe if Anders kicked it hard enough, it would have gone through kind of thing. He kicked it right into the guy's belly. Like,
if I was a decision maker, he'd be off the team. He wouldn't even have been allowed back on the plane going back to Green Bay.
It's been a bad year. And like I thought that, you know, there was a chance that he would have more uses this year because we'd seen Love throw to DeGuar more in the past. We'd seen them utilize him in different ways than they did with Rodgers. And he's just come up as a total dud this season. It's been rough. And even Dusty Evely is like, he's tried to scour plays to find things where DeGuar is doing a good job. And even he's kind of admitted, like, they're far and few between. It's hard to, like, watch him on film because a lot of the stuff, like, Dusty was kind of saying, he's like, the explanations he's giving, he's like, maybe someone else messed up a block before, but at the end of the day, you got to just hit somebody. And on that one, it's like, it's a simple operation as a blocker on us on the field goal protection team. Check your inside gap, block the guy outside of you. And he did neither. So
like I said, it's the whole you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Cause I don't know what that was, but he's not doing his job on offense. He's not doing his job on special teams. Is he, you know, given, well, I won't be that nasty on the podcast.
Yeah.
But
it's bad. It's bad. I know where you're going.
There's got to be somebody on the practice squad that is going to play a hell of a lot better than he does.
Pearson.
There you go. I'm all for it. And he can at least play the fullback position.
Or like you said, I don't know if it's because they're, you know, I don't want to say, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's because they're rookies and they don't want to like overload, especially Kraft in his case, where he's coming from a lower competition level of competition in college. But I think this is the point where there's a divide and it's like, okay, Kraft, you're the inline blocker. Sims, you're going to get some reps there, but you're going to get fullback reps. Like, and you know, in the off season, you cross train those two to overlap and stuff. But like, DeGuara is giving you zilch everywhere and stuff.
Well, and you just said it. Henry Pearson's on the practice squad. Why not friggin' use a call up on him and see what you got? If he can at least perform better than Josiah, boot Josiah's ass out the door and sign him to the 53.
Yep.
You're all for this youth movement. Start doing it.
Yep. So
that's where you got to kind of question whether I won't put it on Gutekunst, because Gutekunst has to go off of what the coaches say. That's where you got to kind of question whether Matt LaFleur can judge talent.
I think DeGuara falls into that bin of, and I kind of just went the other way of explaining it, is like DeGuara is in the bin of, they kept him because you at least in theory have a singular position locked down on your offense, and you can slot the rookies Musgrave into the split and you sometimes in line, but mostly split out tight end. Kraft is mostly your inline tight end, and Sims is in line and who knows, might be getting more fullback snaps. But you know, that's the thing with rookies, is that, you know, and like I did in the article I wrote, it's like you're playing this weird game of catch up where it's like you're trying to run as many plays as you can, but you can only run the plays your guys actually know how to run. And so to kind of skew that offset into your advantage, you kind of say like, okay, you're going to play this position, you're going to play this position. You want you to learn the whole playbook, but you learn this section of it first, and then you start to fill in the blanks as you go, kind of thing. And I think that's a big part of why DeGuara is on the team. I know they're going to say that's why.
The position, though.
I know. Like I said, it's in theory. It's in theory. So,
well, you know, I'm not a scientist by no means, but usually when there's a spot in the theory that doesn't work, you remove that spot and try to insert something else into it.
And like I said, we saw Kraft get more, like we saw Kraft get split out today and stuff. So I'm hoping that he's getting more varied opportunities on offense, and hopefully Sims will get more. And like you said, who knows, maybe Pearson gets a call up pretty soon, because yeah, whatever that was from Josiah, that was not good. He was a definitive net negative today. Rest of the special teams, Anders was good on the rest of his kicks. And this is another one on Bisaccia. I have no idea what the hell they were doing on kickoffs today. Pittsburgh was, I don't know, and I don't know what the weather, I missed the pre-kickoff weather report and stuff. So I don't know if it was like a super windy day, but Love's and even Pickett's deep throws didn't look like they were being affected by anything. So I have no idea why both kickers were kicking short. But Anders, kick it down the middle if you're doing it. Don't, you know, that was like, even Ryan Wood said it, like, okay, you got bailed out on the first one because the thing rolled into the end zone. And then the second one, you tried it again and it went like, the oblong sphere bounced the other way this time. And so I don't know what the hell they were doing Carlson is supposedly has a leg for days, so it's like, just bang that thing through the end zone at this point, especially on a day like today in Pittsburgh where, like I said, I don't know if it was, but I didn't think it was a super windy day. It was a nice November day in Pittsburgh. Just boot that thing out the end zone and don't give up free yardage there. So I didn't care for that. I thought Whelan was fine today. Same thing as usual. We can't really grade that until we see bad weather for him. Thought the coverage units had some funky moments. I know that one of the returns got called back for penalty, but I thought some of the kickoff, it was a little loose in terms of their lane integrity and stuff. So,
like I said, my that's boy your... Christian Welch looked pretty good today.
Oh, he looked good. No, he had a couple of nice hits in coverage, but there are a couple where if they weren't kicking down the middle, that it looked like they had some loose responsibility, you know, assignment assuredness out of their coverage guys. So I know that they've got a few more, like they've had to either elevate guys who are more special teams players, or they've churned some of those guys. But come on, Rich, like, you're supposed to be this whiz kid, not kid, but, you know, you're supposed to be a genius special teams coordinator, and your unit has fallen off this season. You know, they were like kind of average last season, and then this season they've been kind of disappointing overall. The only good is that Nixon looks like he's starting to get a better read of who his blockers are. And
I thought he was taking it. I thought that one he had.
I know. And he just got tripped up by like the only guy who could probably catch him on the field. So, but I mean, 2 weeks in a row that you're like, I think they eventually made it a 49-yard return. But, you know, he averaged 100 on two returns in between two games and had a couple other nice ones. So, yeah, he's getting close, like you said. I think that we're going to see him pop one pretty soon to before the season is over. But anything else on today's game, Joe? Anything else stood out to you?
Yeah, Zach, Tom, you need to kind of keep your head down a little bit.
I think he's only going to get fined, but I know it's a little, but hey, I get it. It was he battled his ass off today, and I saw some people making comments about that. I was like, somebody's showing that they give a damn. So, but
but you know, you saw where you were on the field. You got to kind of watch those, because you know you're going to get called for it. You know you're going to cause a scrum with it. Just kind of relax. Go with the flow. I know you're frustrated. I know it sucked, but we saw what happened to Quay last year when, you know, things started getting a little too hot. You can't let that stuff happen. And hopefully that coach or whoever it was is okay, because he took a nasty, nasty bump.
Yep. So, but onto our MVPs and LVPs. Who's your MVP for today?
Well, I got a true one, but I've got one that I kind of laughed at. Rasul Douglas.
I know where you're going with this.
Because he called out Keyshawn Nixon for not keeping his feet in down on.
And that was another one. Obviously, it was initially in our favor, but when I watched the replay, I was like, how did you two dingles call that an interception?
But no, really, I'd probably have to go with Jordan, just because I think this has been one of his better games outside of, you know, the mistakes that we were talking about, and of course the two interceptions. But if I have to go anybody, it's probably him.
And I will go with Nixon for admitting it. Now, he quote tweeted Rasul after the game, was like, I know, but I'll go with.
Well, actually, if you wanted to bounce off of mine, go with Casey Harryward, because he did the same thing.
Yeah,
Rasul said, you know, you got to keep your feet in bounds, and then Casey retweet quote and said, for real, bro.
Yeah. And then I think Nixon was like, I know. So, but yeah, you know what? Jordan deserves double MVP this week. I thought this was especially, you know, you consider what he did against the Rams last week, and everyone's going to be like, oh, but, you know, the Rams defense was still playing. They still had NFL players. There's still Aaron Donald. And like I said, I know that this Pittsburgh defense isn't, you know, there's a definite talent gradient when you go from the first level to the third level of their defense, but he navigated, you know, he was cool in the pocket. He navigated some traffic in the backfield and made some great plays out of there. And I think I had the team for like five drops. So you take that, you take the five drops out of there. He's 21 for 35. And that, you know, it's not great, but it's 60%. And then he had like three or four throwaways where he just kind of, the only one that I kind of wish he tried on was he had one where he was rolling to his left and he had Dobbs, and Dobbs had some separation. I kind of wanted him to try and thread that one. It wouldn't have even been threading it in there, but I kind of wanted him to give Dobbs a chance on that one, just because could have picked up a first down there. Or, you know, at worst case, you throw it like kind of like Rodgers did to Jordy that one time, where it's like 2 yards out of bounds and it's like he has a chance at it or no one does. It's one of those kind of plays. So I would have liked to seen Jordan take that chance on that play. But otherwise, I think his play today deserves a lot of praise, a lot of credit. And it was good to see him stack two really good games, even though the final stats aren't going to reflect that. So Jordan Love MVP. LVP, which one out of the bad toy bin are you going to pick today, Joe?
Joe Barry, just because of this constant lack of run defense. I really have to say that this Greg Williams pickup has been pretty solid for the Packers with the secondary, but it doesn't help when your run defense won't do a thing. And now the teams are not just now, they've known it for a while, but teams can know that they're not going to be able to pass very well. So we're just going to run the ball down your throat. I mean, when the Steelers are getting almost 200 yards between two running backs, you know there's an issue. So, and of course, the last couple of weeks they had looked good against the run, and now we go out and get a dud of a game out of them. And yeah. I honestly believe if they could have held the run today, they could have shut them out like they did the Rams last week, because yep. They weren't getting, I mean, they had some pop plays from the passing game, but they would have, there'd been no chance for him if they would have been able to stop the run.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm going to with Aaron Jones. Not solely for the one at the end of it, but you're the best player on offense, and you had three terrible plays in the passing game that just let your team down at the worst. You know, he had the drop in the flat on the Love throw. He had the drop on the Wicks throwback screen, and then he caught the one he should have dropped, and then he compounded it by not just ducking out of bounds. And from your best player, I'm not even going to say he is the best player on this offense, you can't have a day like that. You got to be better. So Aaron Jones, hopefully the last time he'll ever be the LVP for this team, because he is a special talent and he is so good. And yeah, I just expect better from him. But Joe, any other final notes on this one for you, or we pretty much touched all the bases on this one?
We hit everything. But I do want to say that, you know, people need to have been really receptive of your latest article over on ohanapackers.org. They've been complimenting the hell out of it. Matt on, hey, we like your pod, even called it out. So, you know, like I've been telling people, this isn't the only good article you've done. You've put out a lot of them so far, but this is the one that's really took off the top on things. So, you know, just more things to come. That's all.
Absolutely. No, thank you. Yeah, definitely more things to come. Little programming note. So we're going to switch up. It won't be the two of us on our pregame opponent preview pod for this week. I will be going on with at least Tyler Schoon of the Guilty as Charged podcast to preview the Los Angeles Chargers as they come into Lambeau Field for the Week 11 game. So that'll be releasing on its usual day, Thursday, for our preview pod, but a little bit of a different. The little bit different hosts on that show, but just getting that out there. And yep, the Packers fall to 3-6, but honestly, this is one of those I don't want to even say feel good, but it's one of those, like I said, it tickles your mind a little bit about what could be in a good way on offense. A lot of things to build off of, a lot of things, and the things that went wrong for the most part are things we expected to go wrong. So it was good to see Jordan kind of step up his game this week, and sooner or later he's going to get one, the Saints game, and sooner or later he's going to get another one under his belt. So I have full confidence in that. But that's going to do it for us for our game recap of the Steelers and Packers game for week 10. We want to thank you for watching the show. Please give us a follow on Twitter. I am at Kawano Mike. Joe is at Iowa_Joe86. The podcast is at Ohana_Packers. As Joe pointed out, please go to our website, ohanapackers.org. We have different pages with all of the recorded streams of our podcast episodes, and a page with all of our blog posts between me, Joe, our guest writers, Joey Van Zumeren, and we have a couple more who will be joining us along the way, hopefully sooner than later. We're just trying to iron out the final kinks on those. Please follow the podcast on your favorite podcasting apps. Please give us a subscription, a like, and even if you're not liking what you're hearing, please give us feedback, comments. We really do appreciate those. We want to make sure that we are touching on the topics that you guys want to hear about. But like I said, that's going to do it for us. The Packers are now 3-6. It's also sixth in the draft rankings. But hey, the Jets just lost to the Raiders today, so they fell to 4-4, and that helps that second round pick we're going to get from them. But that's going to do it for us. We say mahalo and aloha.